have a message about salvation, but it's how we can be blinded with our money and our material possessions. And something that God was wanting me to preach on was, I know it's about money, but even though it's about money, it's about the salvation that's behind what God gives us. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life?" Well, first he called him good master. He didn't call him Jesus. And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. And thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." So he knew the law. He knew the Ten Commandments and the Old Testament law. And then Jesus began, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And come, take up thy cross and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And see, the possessions and the things he owns clouded his judgment of getting saved. It took him away from God. His things took him away from God because he loved them more than he loved Jesus. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved. And Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, "Hardly how they shall have riches enter into the kingdom of God." So he turns to the disciples and say, "Look, this is an example. This guy's an example of how people that have money or have a lot of possessions can be blinded by them and not get saved because of them. They're so busy with the things of the world." And he was said that saying, and the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in the riches to enter in the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And I believe what he's talking about here is the pride that they have in their own possessions and the pride they have in the money. But see, God gives us all that. He gives us everything. And they fail to see that God gives them everything. And here's another example. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits.' And he said, 'This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry.'" So he's acknowledging that himself, that he's the one that did all this. He did all this work himself just to set up for himself in the future. And you don't know when God's going to take you. So you don't know what is in store in the future. But see, God, he didn't give God the glory. He didn't say, "Well, God, you gave me this." And what do we usually do when we sit down to eat? The first thing we do, supposed to do, is give God thanks for what we have and what we eat. And he didn't give God the glory. But God said unto him, "Thou fool, this night thou shalt be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?" So he's telling him, he's saying, look, I gave this all to you. I provided everything for you. You didn't even give me no credit at all. And you took it upon yourself to say that you done it. Just like Lucifer, the first sin. His pride, he didn't give God glory. He wanted to be God. He wanted to be just like God. But he didn't give God the glory. So he didn't lay up riches towards God. And let's see, Luke 16, verse 19. Okay. And here's another example of how we can be blinded, how the rich man can be blinded about getting saved. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. So this guy must be well-to-do, well-dressed, you know, probably pretty well clean-shaven, looked really nice. And, you know, he was all what God calls puffed up within himself. And like, here, look what I got, look what I'm doing. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was led at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs of which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames. But see, throughout the rich man's life, he failed to see that God's in control. Even though, you know, he went to hell not because of his material possessions or how much money he had. He ended up in hell because he didn't have faith in Jesus Christ. He didn't have faith in what Jesus did or is going to do for him. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes in torment and cried, Father, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in the water to cool my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Well, see, Lazarus at one point in his life, he must have had faith on Jesus Christ and accepted him, or had faith in him, what he is going to do or what he is about to do on the cross. And that's why Lazarus went to heaven, even though he suffered so many things throughout his lifetime. And then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wilt send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that they may testify on them, and lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded through one rose from the dead. And the first person that rose from the dead is Jesus Christ. And there's still people today, you could tell them to, you're blue in the face. Now look, Jesus died on the cross. He really is Jesus. He really is the Messiah. He is the one that was spoken of in the Old Testament, like in Isaiah 53. And by him, he was going to come. And he was also in Isaiah 9:6, unto us a child is born, unto us a child is given. And Isaiah 6 is prophecy of Jesus and the coming of the Messiah and the reign of 1,000 years, the millennial reign. And they should have known that Jesus was on his way through the Word of God. And let's see, Luke 19. But not all people that are rich go to hell. Not all people. There is people out there that, you know, not everybody, rich or poor, I don't care what color, anybody can be saved. Jesus said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But it's just the riches what cloud your judgment of getting saved. And but there is people that are rich that do get saved. And like in Zacchaeus right here. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, which he was rich. The publican is a tax collector. and they would collect taxes and sometimes take more than what they're supposed to. And he sought to see Jesus, who was who he was, and could not for the press because he was lifted little stature. So he was small, and he was having faith of Jesus. He said, this must be God. This must be him that's going to come. And he ran before and climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. So Zacchaeus had faith in Jesus and who he was. And with that being done, Jesus came to his house. And while he came to his house, others got saved just because of his faith. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be the guest with a man that is a sinner. But they failed to see that we're all sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it's hard to see. Even when you look in a mirror, you're like, man, some people fail to see what's in the inner man. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore it to him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. So, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Is, you know, that's not that Jesus only come then. He's still now seeking to save the lost. He wants to seek and save the lost still. And Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. And the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:10, For the love of money is the root of all evil. There's some people out there that, they go to casinos, they play the lottery, and they just got to have another dollar. If they can just make one more dollar, they'll be set. And it's just love of money steers you away from also from God and from the eternal, headed to eternal flame because the money clouds. But, you know, we're supposed to trust God with our money and trust God that He'll provide for us. And Colossians says, For by him all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or power, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So he's holding everything together. And so all this material possessions that we have are by him, are from him. He gives us everything we need, and we so fail a lot to give thanks to God, give him the credit for what he's done for us and what he does for us every single day. And not to say that all rich men are not going to get saved. It's not, but it's harder for a rich man to get saved, count of the being blinded by their possessions and way of life. And God wants to make it clear in Acts 16:31, and he says, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house, because God doesn't want anybody to perish. He says he's not willing that any should perish but all come to repentance. And he also says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, he says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So, God wants everybody to be saved. Rich, poor, black, white, no matter what race, we're all one color, really. We're all red. We're crimson in color. and he doesn't want anybody to burn. So that's why he sent his son to die for us. And I thank the Lord that he gave his son to die, to have salvation through him.